Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We decided to do something a little different tonight because there's so many things going on that and so many questions being asked. And we have a large listening audience from Japan with Greg over there at JSETI, which is kind of an offshoot of us, of eSETI. And they had quite a few questions which they sent and wanted me to answer. So we're going to go ahead and do something a little different, answer some of those questions about eSETI, and then do some call-ins and talk a little bit about the changes that are happening and what's going on. You know, we've been following these changes, and I know whenever I give some information out about these changes, I get all this feedback from people that will read one line, and they'll hold on that one line and not read the rest of the line. And you give them a date, and the date will be between now and November, and they said, hey, I thought everything was supposed to happen at the first part of that date. You're going, no, it's between September 17th and November that there's going to be monumental changes. So anyway, be that as it may, you know, I sent an email out just saying that I'm going to stick around close to home because I'm really feeling I need to prepare here and get ready and, you know, prepare for social, economic, and some physical earth changes. And anyway, that got all blown out of proportion. It's just a gut feeling. I'm just feeling it's not a good time to be out on the road and traveling and being flying everywhere. I know there's a lot of radiation in the upper atmosphere. Pilots are taking Geiger counters with them, you know, in the cockpit. A lot of them are retiring early because of Fukushima and the sun and everything else going on. So anyway, it's really not a good time to be flying continuously and exposing yourself to a lot of that radiation and some of the other crazy stuff going on, you know, with the, you know, this Gestapo program at the airport and all the other nonsense, because I just don't need that aggravation, basically. But anyway, I wanted to get to some of the things. We sent some newsletters out, and I'm really hoping that everything holds together this time. We've had a lot of problems with the net here and the phone lines and everything else. It's mysterious, like right at 8 o'clock, all of a sudden Skype goes down, the phone lines go down, everything gets crackly, and we're starting to wonder how that happens almost every night. And every night we're scrambling to make connections. So anyway, we've got some backups for the backups, and so we can go ahead and stay on the air so it won't be a problem. But I wanted to answer just a couple of questions. I know Greg sent me one. He's talking about he'll send the orb pictures from the transpersonal release sessions. We had a group from Japan come here, wonderful people, had some amazing openings during these release sessions. And during the sessions, we had feline beings coming in and diamond-shaped orbs and golden orbs and all these wonderful pictures. So We've also, during the sessions, we've brought in some really high technology to actually film these sessions, where we take people, first we clear out any unseen negative influences, and then after that, we find out who the main teacher and guide is, and then we go into past lives and clear those and age one and start pulling any major blocks or patterns, and then do an initiation at the end. So they asked me to talk about that. And what's nice is a wonderful gentleman that came. He was a doctor. He was having trouble with his eyesight. And when he left, he didn't have any trouble with his eyesight anymore. So my brother just called me with a friend of his that beat, you know, some very serious cancer, some other things that we've been working with just energetically, you know, without anything else. So the FDA can't come and shut us down because we're just doing it hands-on and through consciousness and energy. But you know, we film these sessions, and you can actually film it if you have the right technology. You can film the energies coming into the room and people's entire bodies lighting up and pixelating out. It's just amazing. And when different beings come in, the colors are different. The color spectrum is different. So some, you know, when Mary's energy or the divine feminine energy comes in, you see this beautiful pink energy come in. Sometimes it's light blue or pink. When the golden beings come in, the beings come in from the plane of bliss, you know, it's gold. You see a beautiful gold energy. When the Andromedans come in, you'll see a golden green energy come in. So each group was different, and each of them had a different energy signature, which was amazing. Being that said, it's if you wanted to find out more about the sessions, you can go ahead and just go to the eSETI.org website, and hopefully those are up on the site. You can see some of them, some of the footage there. One of the questions they asked was, how did you develop the eSETI family and friends and, fellow researchers? And basically what happened here at eSETI, I was just following my own dream and my own inner guidance. And it was self-organizing. There was a lot of people that had a shared dream, that had the same desires and were very interested in the same subjects and, realized there was a very intense spiritual connection to connect in with these higher dimensional beings. We had to rise to the occasion. We just can't run around and try to snap photos of nuts and bolts and say, okay, yeah, I've got it, and there are governments and things like that, because that is going on. So people need to understand the field of ufology, which is just a small piece of what we do here. And, basically there is the back engineering stuff, the conspiracy stuff and the nuts and bolts and the abduction program. A lot of the grays and reptilian energies, that's going on. And then you have some just observers hanging out, just kind of watching over, checking out humanity now and then. And then you have the ones that are interceding and assisting us. We have the spiritually and technologically advanced beings that are coming in right now to help during these times, and they're fulfilling the prophecies, the ancient prophecies. So anyway, there's a lot to this. We work with the benevolent ones, the ones that are here to assist us in our evolutionary process, and they're not here to do everything for you. They're not here to trespass on your free will. We have to clean up our garbage and clean up our own messes, both inner and outer, and they'll assist us as long as we're going forward and asking for that help. They'll come in and help. But there are rules, universal law, and they operate under that. So and a lot of people go, well, these other ones are breaking universal law by trespassing. And you're most correct. They are breaking universal law. And because of that, they are coming in to assist in that realm as well. So there's a massive multidimensional cleanup going on right now, not just on Earth and other planes and dimensions. And it's well underway right now, and we're seeing it happen on every level. So, it's good to focus on the higher beings and work with them and ask them for help, in clearing out the energies. But anyway, going back to the question, though, it was self-organizing. We had a lot of researchers come here that with just massive egos and limitations, and the energies here just weed them out. If you believe it's all negative or limited to nuts and bolts, eSETI is not the place for you. We're not limited to that program. And, it's very sad. Some organizations, they'll give people a hat and a badge, taking a weekend workshop, and they come out, like Nazis and demand that you jump through all these hoops and prove everything to them, believing that they have some authority in your life. And here it just doesn't work that way. We just share information. People can create their own reality. They can come and see the ships themselves and decide what they think the ships are. The bottom line is they should try sitting in the field for 25 years filming in minus 10 degree weather, and 30 years of spiritual training to understand these higher dimensional beings, and then get back to us with their badge. This isn't a weekend thing. It just doesn't work that way. Now, one of the other questions that Greg asked was, or the group in Japan asked, is that how has your progression of coming into the media spotlight more and more been for you? Some pretty major shows have been out lately. And basically, I don't want to get into details on this, but I was just recently cut out of a major release. It's just now being released this November. And, I spent 2 days of filming and giving information. I was told it was the most concise information they had with solutions and, the best evidence and everything else. And then all of a sudden, people of lesser integrity got the spotlight, and we got bumped off the show. So anyway, that happens on a regular basis, and it's very sad because, you know, there's people that have not, you know, they've walked a life of less integrity. You know, they're given top billing. They seek notoriety and money, you know, and rise to the top, while those who serve and speak with pure intent and loving heart get the axe. And that's the way it's been for a long time. So if you're feeling that and you're feeling this is happening for you, you know, just be clear that, you know, you can look in the mirror in the morning and get up and know that you've walked a path of integrity. You've told the truth. You haven't taken advantage of anybody. And to me, that's more important than being in any movie whatsoever. I'm sorry. You know, I just, you know, I was never in this for the notoriety or the money. I had no idea that these higher dimensional beings were going to start contacting me. I was building a healing retreat and a process-oriented place where people could come and release the past and heal any unseen negative influences and past life traumas or whatever, and use other technologies to help people healing. That was my main intent. And because of that focus, all of a sudden, all these higher dimensional beings started popping in. You know, it's like cosmic cheerleaders. So the main thing is that you know, we need, you know, society needs to awaken and use discernment. And not everybody in the field of the awakening healing process or ufology have pure intent. You know, they have other agendas, you know, less than pure, and we need to take a look at that. You know, I'm not in for attacking or axing these people. You know, we're all in for healing, you know, and walking the red road, you know, doing the best you can. So, and we've always been there for these people when they're ready to heal and release the past and move to the next level. We're always there. And so one of the other questions they asked is, could you describe what you mean by the term inner sensitivity training? And inner sensitivity training comes out of the teachings of the Inner Christ. It's a very larger organization. It was mainly in San Diego, and it branched out to a lot of other places. And it's an inward journey to understand our multidimensional self. And there's an old saying, we must know ourselves, the temple is within. God, Spirit, Creator is within, you know, it's the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. When we understand ourselves and become self-aware, we'll become aware of the many planes and dimensions, as well as the civilizations and life within them. So we can call it the teachings of the inner Buddha, the inner Allah, you know, we can call it whatever you want. You know, it doesn't matter, because these teachings are not bound by religious programs. You know, they're universal teachings, and you can transcend all cultural and religious boundaries and see the Creator in all creation. And then you're ready, you know, to go to really experience this energy. Because, you know, there's boxes. I've hung out with some amazing yogis and lamas and teachers, and some of them understand, and they've had their contact, and some of them just totally dismiss it. You know, I've had master yogis say, "Oh, that's all Maya, that's all nonsense." You know, like, forget it, don't go there. You know, it's just all nonsense. And they say, just connect with God. And then in the same breath, they'll ask me, you know, these beings have just been kicking the crap out of me. You know, who are these beings, and how do you deal with them? And I go back to them. I said, well, it's all Maya. You know, I said, if you're connected to God, maybe you should ask God what to do with it. You know, and so basically, you know, it's really important to realize that, you know, creation is creation. Basically, the Creator's omnipresent everywhere. And there's all kinds of creation going on out there. Some of it is service-oriented, some of it's self-serving. You know, some of it is really messed up and needs some help and needs some healing. And you know, there's an old saying, you know, to be enlightened means to be in knowledge of all of it, both sides of the coin, the whole enchilada. You know, study all the cultures, all the religions, hang out with them, get to know them, but realize the source created all those cultural and religious programs going on. They all exist within the source, within the universal intelligence. So it's very important to realize that there is a universal intelligence. It's the unified field. Everything is existing within that field. The Creator is omnipresent within all creation. And there are people playing certain roles within that, on that stage. And that's basically what it's all about. But the bottom line, you know, the God is within everyone and everything. And that's what we need to get to. Another question they wanted to ask was, they wanted me to describe some of the troubles I've encountered along the way, including military involvement, surveillance, county issues. This would be a 2-hour show if I went into the whole thing. And I don't really want to promote being a victim or anything else, but there are challenges that come with this work. And when you're walking in your power and you're not a slave, you're going to be threatening those who depend on those who are ignorant and are enslaved, because that's what they owe their existence to, or they depend upon. And that just comes with the territory. And when you enlighten people that God is within them, and they can make their own personal, you know, contact with the Creator, whatever name you want to give it, and you tell them that you're a sovereign being, that, you know, the universal law basically is create no harm. And so if you're harming no one and you're doing your thing and you're stepping outside the box, so what? You know, that's between you and Creator. Nobody else should be involved in that. And that's the bottom line. That's universal law. So basic universal law is everybody is a king in their own country or a queen in their own country, that they are God in their own right, in their own being. And it's between them and God, whatever they do. And as long as they're creating no harm, that's the end of the story. As long as they're not bothering, they should be able free to do whatever they want. And, you know, as long as it's not harming humanity or the earth people should, all these organizations we have, which are controlling organizations and organizations which keep writing tickets after tickets and all these other things, you know, they're just cashing in and keeping everybody, you know, in a box, basically, and that's their job, and the system supports itself. You know, if you don't think the judges are getting, you know, they get their paycheck from the same place the people, all the other agencies get their paycheck. And so when you've got all these tickets going out and fines and all these other things, well, that there's a collusion going on there. There's a total, that's a conspiracy. All it takes is two. So basically, you know, we need to start paying attention to that, you know, when we're dealing with these situations, say, well, wait a second, have I harmed anybody? And are you profiting in any way? Are you, you know, gaining from this ticket or whatever? And if they are, then you know, it's collusion, basically. So anyway, there's a lot of stories around that. But we've had a lot of sovereign people coming on the show and talking about this. And basically, what here is you know, a lot of religions are threatened by those of a higher nature, which do not fit into the limited beliefs. We have to rise to the occasion if we're going to embrace the spiritually and technologically advanced offer of visitors and greet them in peace without aggression. And the problems with the military, county, et cetera, all stem from fear and ignorance. That's the bottom line. Every single one of these problems stem from fear and ignorance. And you know, it's our job to try to enlighten them as much as possible. And sometimes they are not real receptive to that enlightenment, but you still have to walk your talk, you know, and deal with it. But it comes with the territory. You know, I've had bullets whiz by my head. I've had lug nuts taken off my car. I've had brakes sabotaged, all kinds of crazy stuff in this field. I've had all kinds of problems arise from dealing with this information. And it was all about, it all started when I went public and I said, hey, there's all these UFOs flying around up here. I didn't realize what was going to happen. When I did that, I didn't know I was going to open up this massive can of worms. But the problem is, the more they came after me, the more I went public. And so I had to just keep dealing, you know, dealing with that. So, you know, one other question we have here, I'm going to take a break after this. And what the people ask me in Japan, they want to know how people can best connect to their guides and higher self. And basically, a lama I studied with said, there are so few enlightened beings because it's so simple. You focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it. Nature is the best place to do this. Getting to the simplicity is the problem. It takes time and effort and dedication and discipline, yet with a loving, joyous heart. You shouldn't do anything that diminishes your joy. If your heart's not in it, it's actually detrimental. So you have to want this. You have to make it a priority. And the energy and time and energy put into this is usually what you get back. It's that simple. I had two near-death experiences and over 30 years of experience in spiritual matters and studying with lamas and yogis and every process-oriented therapy you can think of. And that kind of helps me with an open door to assist people. And ultimately, it's up to the individual. That's the bottom line. So it's all about empowering the individual to make their own personal, spirit creator connection, helping them to release the past. And because this gift was given to me, I share it and do whatever I can to help people, open up to the higher consciousness energy. So anyway, those were the questions coming from Japan. I thought they were awesome questions. So I went ahead and brought them forward on the show. It's kind of interesting here. I'm having some strange things going on here, but I think we're good. We've got a couple other things I wanted to talk about. We've got some things coming up that people ask me. There's some other questions. The changes, there's a lot of questions coming right now I'm looking at. A lot of people want to talk about the changes. Well, basically if, you're not paying attention if you don't know the changes are going on. I don't know how you could not, I just don't know how you can miss it. It's the bottom line. So if I would just suggest get out in nature, pay attention to what's happening around you. Look at the erratic weather, look at the unprecedented increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. Look at how you're feeling. How your body's reacting to all this, these up and down mood swings and aches and pains, all these things are all part of this process. And we are moving to a highly energized place in space. We're getting bombarded by 500 hits a day by outer sources of cosmic energies and gamma rays and things. The sun's going ballistic, so we're getting hit by those. We're coming into an alignment with galactic plane, and from what they say, there is a very large object out there coming in our way that's really perturbing the Earth. So basically, all I can say is pay attention. It's happening. We're in it now. It's happening. Get out of your cubicle. Shut off your TV. Start taking some walks in nature and start observing the changes in nature and get close to nature. Feel her. Feel what she's doing. Listen to her. She'll tell you what she's going to be doing in that area. That's the bottom line. I don't want to start nailing down, city after city and what's going to happen there and all these other things. I mean, that to me is crazy. So I really don't want to deal with that. So there are a lot of major changes coming in. Kudos to the people asking me about the Occupy Wall Street or Occupy the Globe. or whatever's going on right now, my feeling is that is a very divine inspiration. It's a soul activation. People are being activated from the soul. They're awakening. They realize things aren't right. They're working it out. They're voicing their opinions. They're getting to the core issues. They will work it out, and eventually they'll focus their energy on who's really responsible for this mess that we're in, and that's when things are going to change. It's no good to keep kicking the dragon's toes, you got to find the head of the dragon if you really want to create some changes. So that's the bottom line, but that's where it's going. People are realizing who's really responsible, who's pulling the strings, and the puppets, they're looking behind the puppets, all the political puppets and all the other puppets that we have, that they're throwing, to the dogs right now. And it's not the puppets, basically. You got to look at the puppet master and find out, who they are. And then you're going to get some real changes. So anyway, I think we've got a caller here. We've got Muggsy from Arizona. and we're going to bring her on and see what she has to share with As You Wish Talk Radio. Mugsy, are you with us?
Hi, yes I am.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Thanks. I saw you had put out your video back on the 15th, and I had put up my predictions 2 days before, and it was almost verbatim, point by point, identical to what I had just put out. And I just thought it was really wonderful that we're on the same page and we're kind of directing people in the same path at the same time. So I thought that was really poignant for us to be on the same page, because I think it validates what I'm doing and also what you're doing.
Great. Could you give some details about that, or just for the audience's sake?
Well, I think that the most important thing for right now for people to understand is that, and you were just speaking about this, is that right now a lot of people are waking up, they're taking back their power, they're educating themselves as to what has been going on, and now they want to know, like, what can I do? And we are getting so much help from other dimensions and galactic families and stuff like that. And it seems like the work that you and I both put out was directing people to, number one, clear your heart. You know, start acting in a way like a light worker and start working to help other people and to start working in servitude. Those that are not paying attention to our planet or each other and are being selfish, it seems like they're starting to create their own timeline, and they're going to start experiencing something that's not real favorable. So both of you and I both came out with warnings to direct people back to remember that we are in the Christ consciousness and that we are working as one to create this new 5D reality that we all want. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what we both were doing.
Right. I know we've talked a lot about unity consciousness and the ninth wave with the Mayan calendar. And it's my understanding that we're going through a time compression right now where, you know, everything is just, it's manifesting exponentially. It's just unbelievable how fast, you know, we're moving through things and how challenged each and every one of us are. You know, we're having to face our fears. We're having to step up to the plate and deal with some very hard issues and going through some extreme challenges. And I always tell people, you know, there's an old saying, this too shall pass. And there comes a time where you just have to let it go. You've got to back up, let it go. And, you know, a lot of it will just implode on itself, because those negative energies or negative actions have a reaction which is being amplified, and it's going to come very fast. And a lot of times all you have to do is step back, and it's okay to take some time off right now, because, you know, there's times you're going to have to lay the body down. I had a day today like that, and last night I was up all night long. There was so much energy coming in. I was doing so much clearing work, and then finally it just hit me, and I just said, I'm toast. I need to just go lay down. I'm done for the day. And I slept for like 3 hours today, and I really needed that. So, you know, we just can't flow with this 9-to-5 program anymore, where you sleep 8 hours, wake up, go to work, and then come home, flop on the sofa, you know, crack a beer and watch the football game. I've always told people, you know, we're not going to have any kind of a revolution or change until it becomes personal. As long as people have their football games and their beer and their SUVs and their condo and their home, everything's cool, nothing's going to happen. Now, a large portion of people have lost their homes, they've lost their cars, they've lost their jobs. And it's perfect in a way, although it may not seem like that, but this is what was necessary to snap people out of their comfort zones to get them to wake up and realize that they have been totally enslaved, and there could be a much more loving, joyous, prosperous life.
And everything has to come out. You also made a really good point that I admired you for saying, is that so many people were in that Kumbha La stage where if you don't look at it, it won't exist. And you made a video about the importance of acknowledging what's happening and learning and not turning your cheek against it and burying your head, that was self-defeating, because if you don't know what's going on around you, you're not able to protect yourself and you're not able to make wise choices. So that was a really important video that you put out, and I appreciated that a lot.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I got a lot of heat from that one, because I always tell people, we talk so much about enlightenment, is that, look, you need to know both sides of the coin, the good, bad, and the ugly, all of it. You can't just focus on half truth or a half picture. And I'm sorry, but, a lot of these New Age programs that have been created were created just for that. So you wouldn't look at what some of the tyrants are doing, and you would actually be judged or judge yourself for looking at some of the actions going on and saying, oh, well, that must be me. I'm this evil tyrant. I'm this, that's in me, and there's some truth to that, but a small truth to that. But, the bottom line is that this has been going on for a long, long time. It's been going on before a lot of people were even born. And it's just escalated to this greedy, toxic soup right now, and it's hit the apex of where it could go. It's like there's an old saying, you don't want to take blame or credit for anything. Just find that neutral road and observe what's going on and pay attention. And there is a time when you need to act and you need to stand tall and just say, this is wrong. This has to change. And it's out of love for humanity and the earth that you're doing it. You're not doing it out of fear or out of anger. It's out of love for your fellow humanity and the earth itself, because, the earth is just taken and a really hard hit on every level. I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, look at the Gulf oil, look at Fukushima, look what we're doing to each other, the planet itself, all the different life forms on the earth, the fracking, I can go on and on, the mining that's going on now, and it's just becoming one big toxic mess, and it can't handle it anymore. I mean, we're at that point where we have to say, okay, we have to make some decisions, and we need to simplify it and get back to nature and stop with this greed and profit at any expense program.
I think it's important, too, that we should let people know about the more that you help other people and the more that you're conscientious about our environment and you work from a place of love, it really changes your aura. And what I'm seeing now, and I've seen a lot of reports of people that will put their hands out and hummingbirds will come and fly in their hands, or they're being circled by butterflies, or birds are coming out of the sky and sitting on people's shoulders, or animals are just coming up to them and wanting to love on them. That might be an animal that's like a fox or something. And this amazing thing is starting to happen where, as we are now becoming more in tune of Mother Nature and living in that love frequency, it's like she's responding to us. Dolphins are going up to people now and swimming more with them than they did before. So are whales. And we're just seeing this phenomena that I think is truly beautiful, and it's our reward for going through kind of this crap that we're going through, where we have to deal with the negativity and we have to deal with changing our environment, which is challenging. But our rewards are out there, and we just got to look for them.
Yeah, I agree. The way I look at it is the energy coming in is an amplifying energy. It's an intense energy. And they always remind me, you know, love heals. You know, love is the ultimate power in the universe. Love serves and love heals. And make that your focus. There's a part of me sometimes, you know, that wants to, you know, pick up a baseball bat and just get somebody's attention. And, you know, I have to go, okay, that's the old warrior in me. I need to calm that down. But, you know, there are other ways. And, you know, you can do it through talk shows or through letters or through whatever your writings and address these issues and bring them up into the light. But they do need to be addressed because, you know, those old paradigms that they've been teaching people, you know, to ignore this and allow it just full reign and never do anything about it is just going to do just that. It's just going to escalate till it's just totally out of control. So the way I look at it is that there are certain groups that are focused on the downward spiral. Their karma, the action reaction, is going to hit home. They've built it up to a point where it's just going to run over them like a freight train, and that's the path they're taking. They're doing the separation game, and they're into self-serving, me, greed, power over others, profit at any expense, and that's going to have a reaction to it. It's obvious. You know, and that's the downward spiral. And then you have other people that are focusing on more love and joy and bliss and living in harmony with each other and the planet. And that has an upward spiral, and that's going to continue. But this energy coming in is this grand accelerator that doesn't have, it can't judge. It just doesn't do that. And it just amplifies everything. And the only problem is that, you know, we do live in an action-reaction world where consciousness creates reality. So these people that are focusing on the negative and that are acting on the negative are going to have a massive acceleration, you know, with that process. So I don't focus on it. I'm aware of it. I pay attention to it. If it comes before me, I deal with it. That's where I look at it. But I don't hide and ignore it or say it doesn't exist because, you know, it does. It existed before I was born and it will continue to exist. You know, so, you know, as long as the earth is holding that frequency, which is not going to be very long.
That's right. And what I've noticed is that I can see, like, people's soul groups. And I noticed that certain soul groups will go through upgrades all at the same time, depending on what your soul group is. And they will go through that, like you said, like everybody will be sleeping at that time frame. And then when they wake up, then they're ready to hit the floor running and they're starting to implement changes. And it's like they got their download and now they're ready and vamped up to start making changes. And then another soul group, then they'll have their downtime. So it seems like we have waves now that are implementing these changes, and we're starting from the grassroots. We're doing our neighborhoods, our communities, our cities, and when you tie it all together, you can see this new world evolving, and it seems like we're just kind of ignoring the negative side. To me, it seems like we have star people here that are working with them, so that's not my problem. I pay attention, but my problem is what can I do in my neighborhood or in my community to make it a better place and do it selfishly. We have an organization that gathers seeds, and then we gather the organic seeds and we give them to the farmers. Then the farmers grow the produce, and then they feed the people that are hungry or the senior citizens. They just donate all this food because we're giving them the seeds. And everybody benefits from my community because we're all chipping in to do this. And I see more and more people doing this, and it's really exciting. I know you guys do that, too, at Isseti, right?
Yeah, we're working on that. We're preparing the grounds and getting the water systems in and everything else. And we do, you know, feed a lot of people coming in and out of here. But we want to escalate, you know, that program and actually get more into it. We're kind of in the developmental stage. We grow a lot of our own food, You know, we have chickens and we have yaks here for manure and all the other stuff, and we're becoming really self-sufficient. And we're doing it as an example to show other people how they can do it as well. And it's kind of a learning process as we go. I've had some training in that area, and, you know, worked with Finhorn principles and things like that. And we work with the nature intelligences, and Janet does a great job here. She's one of the people that works with the gardens and the nature, you know, intelligences and the moon cycles and sun cycles, everything else. So it's, you know, we're more making a template, but I'd really like to expand that out. And a couple of days ago, I was out there for 2 days plowing the fields, getting them ready to expand these gardens out, and just working my butt off till dark, you know. but to me, it's all about service, and I love doing it. I love being out in nature. And you know, you can't outgive God, and you can't outserve God. And when you're in service to others, that energy flows through you. So it's very healing and very beneficial, and it sure increases your joy. And you can look in the mirror in the morning and at night when you go to bed and feel good about yourself.
Don't you find that you actually wake up in the morning and go, woohoo, what can I do today? Because you're actually seeing progress, you're seeing change, yeah. And you're creating your own world.
Yeah, can you imagine getting up in the morning? You know, you get up in the morning and you've got to put on all your outer appearances, you know, your Rolex and your suit and all your stuff, you know, and you go out there and you go, I've got to get a profit today, you know, I've got to, whatever, you know, and just that focus, or hey, I need to foreclose on a few things, or I need to make somebody's life miserable, you know, with my fines and degrees and things like that. How do these people get up in the morning? You know, they won't even look at themselves. They won't even look in the mirror. And if they do, that it's just for the outer appearances. They won't stop and look themselves straight in the eye for about 5 minutes or a minute. I'd like to see them do it for 15 seconds. Look themselves straight in the eye in the mirror and just say, and just ask yourself, you know, how do I feel about what I'm doing and who I am? And my, you know, what am I, you know, how am I participating here on Earth? You know, just take a few minutes, just stare right in the mirror, or get yourself a picture of Jesus or Buddha or something and put it up and just light a candle and stare into that. And then ask yourself, is what you're doing, you know, aligned with, you know, living in harmony with humanity and the Earth? Is it beneficial to others, or is it self-serving and harming others? And I think that's what's happening on a grand scale, that the consciousness energy coming in, the unity consciousness energy coming in, is really pushing people to take a long, hard look at themselves with brutal honesty and how they're participating, you know, on the planet, and whether it's self-serving or of service.
I've had people reporting where they'll go into Walmart or something and little kids will come up and just hold their hand, or some elderly lady will come over and want to hug them, or they'll walk into a room and they get all these stares. Like, everybody's starting to notice because their inner light is coming out. And I think that's got to be so rewarding.
Oh, definitely. You know, one of the most amazing things that I'll never forget is this little girl. She was probably maybe 2 feet tall, you know, really small little girl. She looked like a little fairy, you know, and she was walking with her mother down the sidewalk, and I was walking the other way, the opposite way, and she looked up at me, and she had these electric blue eyes that just looked right through me. I mean, they were, we just locked eyes, and I just went, oh my God, you know, who is this person? And she just pulled her hand out of her mother's hand and came running up and gave me a hug, you know, and I'll never forget that. You know, I'll never forget that pure innocence and just the love pouring out of those eyes and how connected she was. And, you know, made me really think about, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, we forgot that. We forgot that connection, and you know, gave me hope too, because I'm seeing all these kids coming in now, and they're just masters. They are so lit up, and I'm just praying their parents will keep them on track, you know, and not try to turn them into little zombies, you know, through the system.
Well, the children are working within the house. They're changing their parents from the bottom up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they say things that are just incredible. Haven't you seen that?
Oh, you know, we have sweat lodges here, and people bring their kids so they can, and we do a real light lodge, you know, and for them to experience it. And when you pass the talking stick and the kids have it and you tell them, look, everybody's equal here. There's no male, there's no female, there's only spirit. You can say whatever you want to say. Just speak from the heart, and you hand them that talking stick. They embarrass the hell out of their parents. And I've seen their parents break down and cry and go, wow, I blew it. You know, I blew it. You know, they're so pure and innocent and say what needs to be said. And you know, they're always saying, like, where's the love here? You know, what, are you happy? You know, like, what's going on here? What happened? You know, and they know, you know, they come from other civilizations that have their environments together, that live in harmony and peace and, you know, a lot more loving presence there, you know, and they come here with that consciousness. And I've seen that over and over again when these kids start opening up and talking, it just, you know, it's just a total meltdown for the parents.
Yeah, but if you think about it, I mean, God's plan is so wonderful. I mean, I couldn't think of something so beautiful, but he had us incarnate, and then now he has these little ones incarnating that's breaking the family paradigm, sort of their consciousness, from the two-year-old or the four-year-old that gets the parents to wake up. I mean, the plan is just amazing, and you must see it all the time there because you get all types of people.
Oh yeah, you know, we have a lot of adults that have come here and they've blown wide open and have awakened. We get a lot of younger people that come here and are looking for a different way. You know, I wish I could feed and house all of them. I can't, you know, especially with the county, you know, does not want that to happen. But, you know, I don't think that's my job, because we all need to become sovereign. That's what we teach here, is become sovereign and self-sufficient and, you know, walk with your own creator spirit connection or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, what happens here, you know, with these people when they come together and the energy that's created. And being on a vortex here, too, it feeds the whole planet. You know, whenever we do ceremonies here or meditations or have gatherings here. So, you know, I just love seeing people walk away with hope, you know, smiling, feeling good about themselves and the planet. And I love watching all the healing go on here. And, you know what I really love, believe it or not, this may sound crazy, but I love to see people cry. Yeah, you know, people go, why? Why do you like to see people cry? And I said, because it tears with 1,000 years of karma. And they've dropped their defenses, and they're letting it, they're releasing the past, they're letting it go. And there's nothing wrong with crying. And I think we're going to be doing a lot of crying in the days to come, because that's just part of the process. You know, we can't walk with these tough, rough egos and think we're whole, you know, because there's an inner... a little girl or a little boy in there that oftentimes is very wounded. With the greatest of tyrants, you're going to see a really wounded little boy just crying out for love and trying to regain his power that was taken away from him as a child. And when you break through to that, you know, that's when you're making some progress.
That's really profound. When people come there, because I know you guys have a lot of different energies there and orbs and magic just happens, I never hear you talk about the animals. You must draw the animals in because they love that energy.
You know, it's funny because just this morning I saw this beautiful falcon fly by and land in a tree right in front of me. It was just just beautiful. And then I looked up, and there was three or four hawks above me, big red-tailed hawks. And then today, another little sparrowhawk came flying in right in front of me, flared up right in front of my face, and just looking at me about 3 feet away. I had my hands full of stuff and then took off. And so I've got to pay attention to that, you know, hawk medicine, because something's major going on. So the animals here, like a lot of the neighbors, the farmers, when they lose their cows, guess where they show up, you know, and they ask, they go, how come all our cows, pigs, everything end up here? You know, why do they just come over here? There's no really good food for them here. The fields aren't any better than our fields or anything else. And they're always wondering why they end up here. And, you know, the deer walk right up to us here. And like you're saying, if your head's on right, you know, the birds will land. I've got photographs of birds landing on me and squirrels coming right up to me and talking. And it happens to a lot of people here if your mind's right, you know. And that, you know, we have the dogs here too and the cats that chase the squirrels that are still doing that program for some reason. But that's just part of the process. But I noticed, yeah, when you're of a certain frequency, the animals just love you, and they know what you're doing and why you're here, and the nature spirits come out to play, and you start seeing things that people thought were fables or fictitious. You know, I've had psychologists here have fairies fly up in the face and just turn them upside down, and they said they medicate people for these things. And they go, what do I do now? And I said, stop medicating people and start listening to them. You know, so it's pretty interesting here. It's a really interesting place because there's so many things going on. You've got nature spirits. You know, we're working directly with nature. And you've got the higher intelligence, the ultra-dimensionals, the masters appearing here. You know, just about everything's going on here, and it's all about just opening up to your own multidimensional self.
You know, I think it's great because I know it's your energy that's pulling that in, and you're sharing it with the world. And I think what you're doing is such a huge service, and you probably aren't even aware of it, but you're teaching people how to do this in their own homes. You're teaching them how to do this for themselves. And this new world of ours is magical. And I appreciate you for doing that and giving people hope and giving them the tools to do that. I think it's great.
Oh, thanks. You know what it is to me? It's a walk. It's not, you know, that, like, I like what Yogananda said. You know, he said, don't swell with pride when people flatter you, and don't shrink with fear when they come after you, because I get both ends of it. And, you know, I look at it and it's just like, what else would I do? You know, I'm just being me and walking my talk, and I guess that's an example for a lot of other people to start learning to be authentic. For me, I don't know what, I mean, I've tried to walk away from this work and, you know, several times, and, you know, because it was getting pretty hairy at times and things like that, and I couldn't do it. I go, you know, what else am I going to do? I have to be authentic. You know, I have to, you know, walk my talk, and you know, if I'm not going to do it, who is? You know, so, you know, that's basically.
Yeah, but if you think about it, people need to know that it's not all fairy dust, that you have to have a sword too. You have to protect yourself, and it's not, we're still in duality, and we have to get out of it. So even though you're enduring these challenges, but you're teaching people that you're human too and that you're doing it, but you're overcoming it, but then you're also showing them this blissful side as well. So again, you have this balance that you're teaching people, which is a great example, you know?
Thanks. Yeah, it is all about balance. You know, I've got my co-host is popping in, and she's going to take us off on the second hour of the show, and I wanted to bring her online too, and you can go ahead and stay on and ask her any questions you want. But Dana, are you with us?
I am. Hi, James. How are you?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, Dana came up to the ranch for a little introduction, and she's got a lot to say. We talked a lot about she's been in the trenches and she knows who's who and what's really going down. And we've both been working with these higher dimensional beings, these lion beings, and some very strong energies. And so I thought she'd be a good mix for the show and bring in some of that divine, powerful feminine energy, for the show. So welcome to the show, Dana. And if you want to chime in on anything or ask any questions, go for it.
No, I just have been kind of eavesdropping, and I think the language that I use to discuss the same things that you all have been discussing kind of, my history with all of this is not nearly as long as anyone that I've managed to meet on my journey. And so I had to learn kind of how to apply everyday language to that which can't be seen. Mm-hmm. And so in my learning how to do that, I've kind of been able to explain to other people how this exact same thing that's happened to me, which is a spiritual awakening, for lack of a better explanation, although it's also been known as an existential crisis once or twice, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's kind of like a spiritual ass kicking.
Indeed.
You know, I've gone through a few of those where all of a sudden all of a sudden you had just the big eye opener and you go, whoa, what am I doing? One time I was in, believe it or not, people cannot even believe this, but I used to be in commercial real estate and I had my own office and people working for me. You know, I had the fast car and, you know, the fancy car and the briefcase and was on the board of director for the Chamber of Commerce, all that stuff. And then I had the drowning experience and I just, That was the big ass kick for me right there. I had the drowning experience. I blew wide open in the interdimensional mind. Everything was energy. I was really having trouble staying in this world and grounding it. And then having to try to live in that world, I couldn't do it. I had to leave. I took off and I went to the Redwoods after that. So I understand both worlds and I understand that program. Of needing the fancy car, the big position, the big house, the bronze girl drinking the right beer, all that stuff, you know, the outer appearances to be a success. But when I realized after that experience, I realized how all of that stuff was so shallow and a game, and it owned me. You know, I didn't own it. It owned me, and and people owned me. I mean, I was jumping through everybody's hoops for love and acceptance and approval. And I had to get out. I had to just totally get away. And I went and lived in the Redwoods for a while. It was the best thing I could have ever done. So I know you've had a similar lot.
I did have a similar experience. I kind of had a rash of horribly unfortunate events for me. My grandmother died. I had a cafe and I closed it. And then one morning I woke up and decided it would be a great idea to walk out on my husband over Native American karmic debt and corn syrup. Yeah. And I didn't know what Native American karmic debt meant. I knew karma as a concept, but I didn't really understand what I was doing. I thought I was very happy in my life. But it's almost as if somebody, you know, picked me up by the soul and marched me out of my life. Mm-hmm. And the series of events that happened kind of rapid fire after that, I wound up in a place on the Oregon coast called Manzanita, and there is a very powerful mountain there, very similar to Mount Adams or Mount Shasta. I spent quite a bit of time in Sedona this summer. I went for one night and wound up there for a month. But I liken the energy of this mountain, Neocani Mountain, to it's the feminine match to Sedona's powerful masculine electric energy. Mm-hmm. And it's also in the woods, and that's kind of, you know, when I left this life and I was in advertising, actually, and I kind of calculated how much damage I had done, you know, by adding things to the flotilla in the ocean by writing Pottery Barn catalogs for several years. And my husband at the time was the global brand strategic planner at Coca-Cola, or for Coca-Cola, at an advertising agency here in Portland, Oregon, called Widening Kennedy. And then when I kind of realized how my life was weaved into that, which was destroying every family, I kind of had to stop and take account of what my hand in that was, especially since I have two small children who are 7 and 5, and I've now come to know them to be what's known as crystal children. They just kind of came in with eyes wide open. They understand everything about how the earth works, and how to be caring, loving souls, and that service to others is really what makes them feel best.
Mm-hmm.
So in trying to encourage that and learn it, you know, I learned it about myself simultaneously. I didn't really have a language for any of this energetic stuff. But then when I started testing, you know, these universal laws that you talk about, you know, whatever's up there registering the frequency of what we do, and I just refer to all that is the cosmos or love for people who have a hard time with the word God.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever frequency you put off is whatever energies are going to rain down on you from the cosmos. And if your intention is to literally steward every single thing around you, then it comes back to you tenfold, just like when you make negative efforts out into the world. And so when I started to test that, and then I really started understanding electromagnetics, and every single thing that was happening in my life was just one giant power dance. Who has it? Who's trying to take it? Who, you know, what happens if you give it away? Then there's nothing to take, and then there's no struggle, and then people create more struggle if there's no struggle. And so this wasn't just a pattern in my life, but this was, you know, the pattern of, you know, I could extrapolate it out into a macro scale that blew my mind.
Yeah, I have a question for you. You know, first of all, I want to give out the toll-free number if people want to call in. Basically, it's the number I'm giving here is 888-627-6008 if anybody wants to call in. We'll give that again if you want to get your PIN, and it's also on the website. But it's toll-free in U.S. and Canada. If you've got your pencil handy, it's 888-627-6008. And it looks like we've changed our toll-free number, so you can go ahead and call that number if you want to call in. Sorry for the interruption. Now, the question. I have, and this is a question I went through all the consciousness is energy and what you focus on, you create, and I went through all that program, and then I started realizing that I was doing that, you know, every day, and I was really, you know, drawing, magnetizing people and events to me. It was really good. And all of a sudden I just kept hitting this wall. And I go, what is going on? You know, and I'd go within and I said, okay, what did I do? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And then I realized that there was two parts to that story, is that yes, I need to focus and I need to create my day and create the world I want to see and things like that. But at the same time, I need to realize that that might not be somebody else's truth. And somebody might have another program that's actually that might be the opposite. You know, where I'm focused on love and joy and bliss and serving everybody, you know, there may be another guy, you know, right on the next row over here that's focused on self-service and taking and controlling and enslaving. So it's kind of interesting, you know, part of me goes, wow, I mean, I had some real, real hard lessons in that arena where I was blindsided by this other element. I'd love to get your take on that, what you feel about that. It's kind of like, you know, so I do that old thing, you know, praise Allah, tie your camel.
Right, exactly. Well, I look at that kind of stuff, I guess, two ways, not in a duality way, but in a, when you hit a wall, there's there's two kinds of energy at work here. There's power, and then you can also use force if power doesn't work. And force is kind of pushing something to make it happen, which I also call using your free will. Because generally people only engage their free will when they choose to suffer. And when I say suffer, I just mean ignoring where your soul is trying to take you. Because your mind is really just the logistics engineer behind getting your body where your soul needs it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when we forget that we are sovereign and we do have our own power, most importantly, the power to say, no, that doesn't resonate with me. I'm going to go oscillate in this direction. that it's a test from the cosmos. And in the whatever you put out there, you call into you. It's essentially you're dialing up the cosmic hotline saying, hey, can I get a pop quiz on a strength test down here, please? Mm-hmm. I need the strength of my will and my heart and my soul tested. And sometimes that comes in the reminder to slow down. Sometimes that comes in the test of a moral dilemma. Sometimes that comes in the test of literally just not letting somebody irritate you.
Yeah.
And actually what you were saying earlier about, you know, people acting out of love, I always say that people act out of love and hope, and they react out of fear, grief, shame. I mean, pick your poison. Mm-hmm. And so the energy that you put towards something that is either attacking you or sending you love is what you're going to reciprocate back and forth.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I've had some, you know, adversarial programs going on where I've had people come in and try to take what's not theirs, or try to control or dominate or try to stop. You know, they're very threatened by, you know, as I said before, there's a lot of fear and ignorance around there. Mm-hmm. And people fear the unknown, and they fear change. Those are the two big fears, you know. And guess what? That's who we are.
That's all there is.
You know, I mean, that's what I represent pretty much, is change in the unknown and making it known. So,
well, and that's kind of the beautiful thing about, you know, this experience that I had, and actually how I found my way to you, is that literally every single one of the things that you and I and Janet spent hours discussing was not in my vocabulary 3 mm-hmm. years ago. And if anybody had even mentioned, you know, extraterrestrial beings or lights in the sky or anything like that, I would have been like, you're crazy, get out of here with that. And the nice thing that I had realized about all these life challenges that many of us who are able to feel these energies, see these energies, hear these energies, however you're cognizant of them, is that you've had your spirit tested to see if you can handle the truth. And then you kind of have to decide through the sheer force of your will that nobody can tell you what's true for you or not. They can make suggestions, and if that resonates, that becomes a part of your being. But the power to just say no to something that doesn't resonate, because it literally vibrates at a different frequency than you do, is a super important knowing, because it keeps judgment from happening. One of the greatest things I ever heard was, it's none of your business what other people think about you. And my family thinks I'm nuts, and, you know, but, you know, this all started out with in a conversation about energy, and a conversation about, you know, then it was more of a New Age language, and then I learned a lot about crystals, and then I learned about literally how power is traded on every dimension in the multiverse. And it's all subtly. And that which you can see is merely our projection on how we would like it to be, or how we've been told it is. Mm-hmm. But the most difficult and the easiest thing to change is your mind at any time, and it changes your reality.
Yeah, they say 3D is just the hard copy, you know, of the other levels. One thing I'm realizing too is that, you know, when we incarnate, we pick up a body, and that body has cellular memory. We chose that body for certain reasons. but that body has a program. It has cellular memory, and sometimes your soul and its program is contrary to the body and its program. And so there's always a little bit of a war going on as the soul is trying to reorganize and readjust that body to suit, you know, its needs.
And can I interrupt you for a second to clarify? Are you talking about when we incarnate into a baby body or a walk-in?
A physical body. Yeah, okay. A baby body. When we choose, you know, we choose our parents, we choose that whole program from another level. Although after we get into it, you know, we go, what the hell was I doing or thinking? But in some cases, you know, but anyway, and what I've seen is that there's always a reorganization going on or a challenge going on or, you know, like one level trying to reorganize another level, you know, all the way from the source, all the way down, it seems like. And that we do have this whole and healthy, perfect self, this perfect incarnation that's trying to express, that's trying to come forward, but it has to go through the astral body and deal with any past life distortions and wounds and traumas, and that it has to come through your mental body, your emotional body, any child life wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences. And then it picks up this physical body that already has a cellular memory to it that's programmed a certain way. So what I see is that there's so many different things going on. It's important we don't beat ourselves up. If you say I'm whole and healthy and I'm perfect and your body's in the past and trying to catch up, you know, that's okay. Don't beat yourself up or see yourself as a failure. It's a process.
Every day is a new opportunity to start over always. And that's kind of the beauty. And so I kind of, you know, when people talk to me, can I help them with their past life stuff? I can, but I also find exactly what you just said. It's more layers of stuff for them to sift through. And I kind of try to explain to everybody that generally what you're dealing with in your life, in this incarnation, is all of your past life stuff coming up over and over and over again. And the passionate detachment is key, because if you can watch your life like it's happening like a movie and give yourself advice, like you're giving your best friend advice and suddenly you're talking to your higher self because you've never let your best friend fall, then it's kind of an easier way to understand all this stuff that is otherworldly and very heady for people who don't have any language for this. But my goodness, if you have a look at a calendar, you need to know it pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. What I'm seeing, too, as I've come to realize, and it sounds judgmental, you know, I don't want to sound that way.
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. There are some people that have chosen just to come down here and have maybe a pretty limited experience, and they didn't choose to wake up this time around. They didn't choose self-mastery this time around. It's really interesting. I've seen people that have come here and they've been like pushed by their mates or their spouses to come here, you know, came kicking and screaming. And you sit down with them and all of a sudden you go, God, this guy's got like 70 past life things hanging on, you know, that he's totally avoided. He's totally avoided his.
And therefore he's not there by accident. And that's,
yeah.
But that's the thing. If we don't choose to go to answer that call, and every single person gets that call, that I said the other day, the light at the end of the tunnel, that's your soul waiting for you. Mm-hmm. So walk into the light. And if you don't head toward it, you're going to have all these calamities you can't figure out. And it's because you're not following your bliss. But then, of course, you know, all of the current events we've got going on right now feed right into why that's happening. So
Yeah, if you're in New York, the light at the end of the tunnel is New Jersey.
Right. Fair enough.
So what do you think about this? What do you think about this Occupy Wall Street and Occupy everything that's going on?
I will say this before I answer this question honestly. I'm always that guy that can offend anybody in the room, even the unoffendable. And I love the passion behind Occupy Wall Street. And I love that on every continent, people are flooding the streets and saying, hey, we're done. We've had enough of this. Fix it. And it's beautiful. And I'm so inspired by the signs. Oh, my goodness. So many of the people that have written a lot of the signs would make better advertising copywriters than a lot of the people I've worked with. But, you know, truth, there's truth at the bottom of it, which is the way the system is working isn't working.
Oh, yeah.
And the Einsteinian, you know, problem can't be fixed at the same level of consciousness that created it. Going and banging on Wall Street's doors, begging for money back as if they're going to hand us back the cash that isn't already spent on killing people abroad and other ridiculous things that, you know, you and I know about, but the people who don't know about them don't want to know about them on purpose, because it is a lot easier to turn on TV and watch something else. And that's, you know, the other day, just because I am kind of a hermit, but I need to do my work around other people so I can kind of read the collective conscious and unconsciousness that's happening just around me as a focus group. You know, I love sitting next to a table full of guys who bitch about Fox News and how this is and that and Fox News this, and then they got to watch baseball on Fox Sports because it's baseball. Like 1% doesn't own the baseball and the stadium and the ads and the beers and the cheerleaders and the cops that got to police it. And suddenly it's like, what are we doing? Why is that the most important thing right now? It's not. And so then kind of once you get into, I mean, those guys aren't giving anybody their money back. So you can stand in the street screaming at them, begging for it, or you can go knock on your neighbor's door and be like, hey, you want to start a food co-op? And then start growing your food indoors because there is radiation in the air and water.
Yeah.
I call it radiation. But it's affecting all of us, and it's accelerating time, and it's accelerating illness. It's accelerating wellness, for that matter, for those who have really cleared their energetic fields and kind of done the work, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Those people are going to get accelerated, you know, what I call superpowers, which is anytime, you know, you clear a level of miasm, you get extra spidey powers. And you never know what those are going to be, but suddenly you can see or feel energies that you couldn't the day before because you cleared something that, you know, kept your spirit down from your path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, you know, to me, a lot of people are in the process of regaining their power. I mean, that's the process that they've chosen to do it. And before, they were afraid to even speak out. And so it's a step, and now they're going, and before they were totally maybe hypnotized, you know, by the mainstream TV and, you know, the program and everything else. And all of a sudden they're waking up and they're going, wait a second, you know, this is really wrong here. And, you know, there's so many people who have lost their homes, they've lost their jobs, families are splitting up because of it. And they're just going this, and then there's these other guys just cashing in on this whole program, you know, at the top. And so
you literally have just explained my whole life.
I
lost my business. I lost my marriage. I lost my house. I lost, you know, finances, all of that stuff. And now my family's in the system, lost a ton of money to attorneys that didn't do anything but tell me how to work within the system. And oh my goodness, working within the system is what got us all in this mess right now. So I just reject the system, and I also reject the system's rejection of me. Mm-hmm. And I can start from a neutral place to really figure out not what the symptoms of my problem are, but what the solution to the problem is.
Yeah, we need to not. What I'm seeing, you know, I know so many people, they've done that, you know, and I did it too. I went through the whole process of, okay, I'm going to work with the system, and I'm going to try to educate these people, get them past their fears and ignorance and work together and figure this stuff out and turn it around. And then I realized that, well, wait a second, they don't want to learn anything about this. They don't want to let go of their fears. They don't want to As a matter of fact, they want to make me go away. You know,
well, but and those are the ones that you know are going to have a bumpy ride, and it's kind of like I help who I can until they start pushing me, and only after they've asked me to help them in the first place.
Yeah,
you know, they pull me in and then they push me away, and that's kind of the natural flow of how much help I'm able to offer somebody. Because if you're not willing to change, it doesn't affect my life one way or the other.
Yeah,
if you want to change.
What I'm saying is I've learned a lot from this sovereignty movement, where I realized that the system is a de facto program. The whole thing is just total nonsense, and it doesn't align with universal law. It has nothing to do with our own divine rights. You know, it's so contorted and twisted and capitalizing on people's, you know, problems and fear.
Well, it's what you were talking about earlier today when you needed a nap. Eat when you're hungry, sleep when you're tired.
Yeah.
Go to work when you're tired and go to school when you're tired and go to work when you're hungry and go snap at people. Do you know what I mean? Like the system has set it up so there is no time to be conscious.
But what I found out through this whole process, and it was a great learning experience for me, is that I learned who's who in the system, how the system works, and just how literally corrupt the whole system is. And then I also learned another system, you know, another way of doing things that are still, you're still dealing with the system, but in a different way, and standing up for your own system. And I'm still working on that, you know, putting that together, but it all comes from, you know, like coming from the heart, know you're a divine being with divine rights, and standing up for those rights. And I think that's what's happening all over the planet right now. People are going, wait a second, you know, I have basic human rights and basic human needs and, you know, all these
we all have the same basic human needs. And that truly is, I started researching this the other day. I wonder how many people simply die of not being loved.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, and then... That's the source of all, you know, disease, is you're sending negativity, you know, stealing energy, vital energy from your cells and replacing it with leaden energy of pain. Mm-hmm. But truly, I mean, I think that with the radiation and people, I truly feel that's what's making everybody so heavy right now and depressed, is that there is no time to be heard or felt. So people are truly dying of a dearth of love. And that's, if everybody could just stop and recognize that the person on either side of them probably needs a hug, and it doesn't matter why.
Mm-hmm.
And we could start, but we could start over right from there.
I like that one hand, this guy held up a sign, and he actually looks like a good friend of mine. I almost thought it was him. He would do something like that, but. You know, he, you know, it's like, can't we just all figure this shit out together?
And the point is that we can.
What's that?
The point is that we can. I mean, I've met the geniuses you know. You should meet the geniuses I know. If we put a think tank together, put a pause button on the world, go around and fix everything, like tomfoolery style, where everybody wakes up the next morning and they're like, oh, my God, the world is perfect. Who moved my cheese?
Yeah. You know, to me, it's so simple. Basically, it's that, you know, and just getting down to basics, you know, they say that the war industry has taken up almost 90% of our resources. And that's a beginning. You know, right there, you can't have, you know, that many people homeless and out in the streets and broke and without a job and continue to throw that much of our resources towards.
Insanity. The attendant issues that come with that is we're having a whole generation of men and women come back with PTSD that we're not prepared to handle, they're not prepared to handle, and oh my goodness, I don't know if they make enough pharmaceuticals for the pharmaceutical industry to handle it, so we're going to have to figure out another way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just not working. You know, it hasn't worked in the past, it's never worked. So why continue with it? But, you know, I was looking at just a small portion of that. just take a small portion of that money. You know, you could feed everybody. You know, you could create housing for everybody. It's just a small fraction of that money.
Okay, yeah. Well, if you're talking about pharmaceutical money, then can I do you one better? Can
we? No, I was talking about the war industry, but yeah, we can.
Oh my gosh, yes, the war industry, the pharmaceutical. Let's take the war industry's money, the pharmaceuticals industry money, and sports.
Oil industry.
NASCAR. Yeah. Well, just things that are so extraneous, they have no power to create. They only have the power to destroy, and not to destroy, to create something good instead. So if you take all of those things away, literally, we can live without any ESPN channels. I swear to everybody.
Yeah. This is really funny. I looked at this from an alien perspective, right? So this let's say this ship commander flies over, puts his ship in cloaking device, flies over the Rose Bowl or whatever, and he looks down and he goes, oh look, everybody's together. That's nice. They're all in a circle. They're all in a big circle, and he goes, wow, what's going on down there? Oh look, all these guys are lining up together, but man, they're trying to inflict as much damage on each other as possible. Like this, and they're fighting over a dead animal skin, and they're consuming these toxic liquids and eating stuffed pig intestines, and all of a sudden you really look at that from a higher perspective. You go, wow, it's like we have not evolved past the gladiator.
Oh my goodness! The only thing that's missing is really they've just started. What do they call that? Sanding baseball bats, but they're actually just clubs.
I was also looking at it too. So you've got people inflicting as much damage on each other as possible over control of a dead animal skin. And millions of people watching that, and these are your heroes, and you're paying these guys millions of dollars to do this.
The ads.
There's something wrong with this picture. When you look at this, you go, well, where's your enlightened ones? The farmers are the heroes. The ones that are growing, good wholesome food. Those are the heroes.
This is where my ad brain kicks in, and it's like, what do you need more, dinner on your table tomorrow or to know the sports scores? And when you start comparing that which you give your attention to instead of all the things that are happening in your life that literally exist before, without your say-so, before you even wake up, because, quote-unquote, that's the way it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the way it is in the zombie world, and when you're totally hypnotized and controlled, and you've been raised in that reality, but there comes a time we have to snap out of that and go, wow, there's a lot of other stuff going on around us that we might need to be taken care of.
I think a lot of people many of the people that I've dealt with in the last couple of years, and there's been a couple hundred by now, are afraid to own the power of the waking up. And so they always find me at a struggling point where they refuse to own it and pursue it.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result, they suddenly are having life struggles, and they lose their jobs, and they lose their houses. Exactly what happened to me. Your life will kick you out of it and bounce you onto your soul's path if you don't do it yourself when you're supposed to.
I heard this guy's story. It was pretty interesting. This guy, he went to one of the football games, and, he was pretty wealthy, well off. And so he went down there, and he had a nice Beamer, had the Rolex and everything else and the fat wallet. And he went there, and he comes back, and his car's broken into. His tires are all gone. They've been stripped off his car. It's broken into, and he got robbed on the way there. Got totally robbed on the way there, on the way to his car. And when he got to his car was totally vandalized and everything else. And he was complaining about that, and I just said, and I thought about it. I said, well, Did you ever think about why? You know,
take a sign from the cosmos, dude.
Yeah, he was talking about how many other people this has happened to, and how this place has become a war zone and everything else. And this all happened while he was watching a football game. And I think about that, and I go, you know,
if it's irony, it's karma. If it's irony, it's karma. If it's irony, it's karma.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that thing. So while everybody was watching the football game, society fell apart. And look at what it's become. You know, while you're watching the commercials, the football games, the baseball games, and everything else, what happened to society? And that's what we need to look at. Like, wow, what happened? You know, while I was asleep or while I was distracted, what happened to the planet? You know, what happened to my immediate family? What happened to my surroundings? You know, what, and that's what people need to do, is wake up and go, wow, you know, look around and look at where things are, where they really are, and get out of the fantasy world that they've created.
I think that's definitely how, if it could happen to me, it could happen to anybody, because I'm exactly that person that you're describing. I was a total sleeper. I had no consciousness. No, I had awareness, but I had no consciousness. And once I realized that everything I gave my attention to, I gave power. And so if there's millions of people everywhere giving their attention to things that possess negative power over us, then suddenly we're in a whole lot of trouble. It's like...
Oh, yeah. When you have 7 million lemmings going off a cliff, you know?
That wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, truly. Like,
well,
I was thinking about that.
Like, when, you know, I have this image of, and this is kind of an old program too, an image of what would it take to get people's attention? It would take this giant god to show up and grab the earth and just shake the crap out of it. And then, okay, now that I got everybody's attention, okay, we're going to play a new game. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a new game now. It's called Love Your Planet, you know, and your neighbor.
A global near-death experience would definitely cure that, would it not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or, you know, yeah, I would send this huge consciousness and energy and, you know, push everybody up, raise the frequency so high, put them in the plane of bliss, and then drop them back down and say, okay, now figure it out.
Exactly. Well, and that's kind of what I try to do in bite-sized pieces with people, like whether I get to spend 4 hours with them or 4 days. I just kind of try to pump them up with as much, like, levitational energy as I possibly can. And then when they seem like they're ready to fly on their own, I have to let them. Just like you said, as much as I want to take them all in and feed them and clothe them and hug them, they have missions on Earth here, too. And so...
Yeah, I had,
had a
woman bring her boyfriend up. It was really interesting. He was an investment banker. And, you know, he drove up on the ranch, and he was there about 10 minutes, and he just turned upside down. It goes, I got to go. And everybody was really kind and really nice to him and everything else. He was such a fish out of water, and the energies were so... And she was looking at me. You know, she wanted me to fix this guy and do a clearing for him and everything else. And I just looked at her, and she just looked at me, and both of us were just going, I just said, have fun with that one. You know, I'm sorry. You know, it's like, you know, I can't still want another person.
Well, okay, but then what you just made a beautiful point, because Iseti is an extraordinarily powerful place. So literally by her getting his physical body there, he was able to pick up subtle energies from the land there and take them away with him that may give him an awakening shift later. And that's kind of the other side to this that we don't really know, but I definitely have seen and believe that people pick up and put down energy geographically wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. What I was seeing there too is that, you know, we have to just... Well, it's kind of interesting because I think we have to reevaluate to say, okay, what are my priorities here? You know, maybe I'm not supposed to be with this program or this guy. You know, if I'm really going to be true, you know, be authentic and walk the spiritual path, you know, maybe I shouldn't sell out to, you know, security, which is a false sense of security, really. Whenever you're not authentic, you're not in, there's not going to be any security there. Your soul's going to kick your butt.
Well, all you have to do is lose something really mean. I mean, I really didn't, I'd never lost anything in my life until my grandmother died. And that, I mean, I, you know, I had other grandparents, but with whom I wasn't nearly as close. And when she died, I mean, and then, you know, I closed my cafe, which was like a life dream of mine, and I closed my marriage down. I literally lost every single thing that ever mattered to my soul. Mm-hmm. And it was only in doing that, and I mean only in losing those most valuable things to my heart, that I retained myself and that which I know, and an understanding of everything in such a universal way that the solution to one thing is the solution to everything. And if you can look at everything globally, nothing's happening to you, everything's just happening.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I found out too is that we have been raised, most of us, not all of us, we've been raised in a world where there is manufactured lack. And, you know, there's a total uneven dispersal of wealth. There's planned obsolescence. All these different programs that we've just accepted and been raised in. I mean, I was given, I'll never forget this, when I was a kid, I think it was my grandfather or whatever, gave me this metal car. And you would wind this car up, it had a key, and it was made in Germany. And that car ran forever. And everything else broke, and everything else busted, and that car just went on and on and on. It was just unbelievable. I don't know where it is now. It disappeared somewhere, but it's probably still running.
Well, and, what an ironic, symbolic, archetypal stereotype.
Yeah, and I thought about that, and I said, you know, why, you know, all the other little cheap toys I was given, you know, lasted about, what, you know, with me, probably about a month at the most, or a day or two. But I was kind of hard on toys. The thing about that, you know, you really think about that. There, you know, we, back in the, you know, long time ago, we could build cars that would just go forever. We had steam engines, you know, that were very efficient. You know, we had all of these technologies where, you know, some of these cars are still on the road today. It's amazing. But, you know, very simple, very easy. And we got into all this complicated, complex program. And we're taken off, you know, to ship to oil and do all these other things. And then, you know, guided by these profiteers, you know, in a direction that was almost in every case enslaving or harmful to humanity, Earth, or created a huge energy signature, you know, on the planet, or footprint, you know, heavy footprint. But I've seen over again, it's all about being led or being raised in a certain environment or a certain way where it's just okay.
Well, it's definitely a learned ignorance that I think goes back so many generations. It's hard to know who to blame, so we just need to stop it.
Yeah,
and say, you know, and really assess, is education working? No. Okay, we'll deal with that. Is healthcare working? No. And anything that's not working that we need, let's put in one pile. Anything that's not serving us, no matter whether we want it or not, must go away. And that's kind of...
If it isn't, you know, I always bring up that old Cherokee saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. And
yeah,
you could apply that to everything. It looks like we've got a caller. We've got Tommy's on line 3. Hopefully he's still on. I just saw this pop up on the screen. Tommy, are you with us?
Hey, yeah, James. How are you doing this evening, you guys there, and your little nice conversation you got going?
Doing great. How are you doing? Do you have a question or something to add to the story?
Add to the story? I'm getting an echo. Can you hear that?
I can hear your echo.
Feedback.
Yeah.
Anything you can do about it?
I'm sure that the booster's working out. It sounds fine to me. It might be on your end.
I'm just hearing myself. I get that enough.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try it out. It's tough, but okay. It went away. All okay. Right, so many things. Could have jumped in here a while ago just to chime in and chat with you guys about all this good stuff. I listened to you, James, and talked to you before a while back. Anyway, I guess I could. I know you don't have a lot of time, and I see you extended your show. That's cool. I'll call back. Got some things to say about a lot of things here to touch on, but I'll just try to keep it because of the time here. But anyway, I wanted to talk about this blaming thing, and then I wanted to say something about the sovereignty issue, but some other things. I just got a lot of stuff running through my mind, but the way I understand this, and I've pretty well sorted it out myself, and not to say that I know everything, that I ever would, or that I'm right, but if it is that we're all one, right? Mm-hmm. We're one with everything there is. Then you're not separate from anything. We're not separate. So you are it, and it is you. So there's no one to blame. It is each of us that all individually, collectively, that made this happy madness that we're all find ourselves complaining about, that we're each complicit in the crimes against humanity you want to blame someone for.
Well done.
So if it is that we're all one, that the only thing anybody could do is heal themselves, to heal their own timeline with the energy coming up out of their heads, to level it for their ancient ancestry, and that's all you can do. And if each one did that, we could solve the problem and move the mountain in the field of consciousness, and it could manifest a new gravity and physicality. So, that's the way I look at it. That there is no one to blame. If someone pisses you off, for example, I learned that the karma is simply the feelings, the repressed feelings that got stuffed in our ancient history, that was not allowed to come out so that we could express ourselves as the expressive beings that we are. That if someone pisses us off, or whoever, it's not the individual that we take personally that made us mad. It's the feeling that was brought up out of us that is simply asking to be resolved, to be acknowledged, to be observed. And so you work with that, and that is the enemy. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. The enemy is the feeling or the threat that is simply asking to be friends or to be resolved. And you stick your hand out to that enemy, the feeling that's causing you that discomfort. And the enemy, when you extend yourself and you consume that perspective, the enemy now has to make a choice. It has to either come over and join your side on the light, or it has to go away forever. Now, I used to be deathly afraid of my own feelings and fears and everything else, like everyone else. I didn't understand it. But I figured this out. And you need to get, everybody needs to get their rest at night. And you got to wake up every day of your life like it was the first day of your vacation. Mm-hmm. And start your day out like that and then go do something. But you don't, this matrix of illusion is so tremendous, the force, and you guys know this. It is so tremendous that people need to really get serious with a definiteness of purpose, with a conviction. Like you were on a Super Bowl team and you had, you know, the 2 yard line with 2 minutes to go and in the fourth quarter. Well, I'm just giving the sports for example because these boys practice to be determined and they got a score.
Well, but
it's a good analogy. Okay, just for a second. But I'm saying the determination, however it comes up in someone, whatever it is someone wants to do, to be determined, that's how we need to approach this force of light that we're bringing in to overcome the tyranny that's being perpetrated against us. But anyway, James, well, let's see. I'll go back for a second. The flight or the fight syndrome. If when you go into the woods and you see a bear, you say, oh, shit. This, or you, the alligator hunter, he'll go into the woods and he'll see a bear and he'll go up and shake his hand. Now, it's through a glandular process. What makes us unique on the planet is our emotions. And it's through a glandular, and your emotions are connected to your nervous system. And what happens is that through a glandular process, that either the fear or the positive, the fear, the negative coherent emotion is produced that makes a food a thick, auric, sticky juice for these beings to eat through your negative coherent emotion. So if nobody gets a hold of themselves and there's fear coming out of you sitting at your house, it doesn't matter. It's the fear that they're using, you know, this to control the planet. Doesn't matter. They love sporting events. Whatever. Big, it's a feast. Okay, so it's getting a hold of yourself with a serious focus of attention for your intention to get out of it and to raise ourselves up. But so our life is a contract with ourself. The matrix of illusion was set up on purpose by design to contract with you and me so that we didn't have the actual time to fulfill that individual contract with ourself, because you might figure out who you were. And if you could, you could break loose from this prison planet operation, okay? But between lives, they're harvesting the souls and erasing the memories, putting in false programs and pictures and hypnotic commands. So everything, everybody's
well, scripts. Give your attention to that, those negative ideas, instead of choosing to focus on that which you know is true and positive, which changes the polarity of your thoughts.
That's right.
And it literally manifests something altogether different than being focused in a place where you are making NFL analogies, when that's exactly what you're matrixing about again. I think it's important to recognize when you're using that as a metaphor that you're so programmed with it, you're using it to explain that which you are railing against.
There's a lot of, I'm not railing, I'm using an example that a lot of people can relate, that when you were in school, you were out on a playground in the recess, and you were having a good time with your friends, getting along in the team sports, and it was a lot of fun. And then when we grew up, we lost that ability to be able to cooperate with each other in unity, because we got distracted.
Well, we haven't lost it. It's learned out of us. It's a learned ignorance that we're all experiencing right now. And that definitely comes from the television. It comes from anything that comes in a box or a square or a rectangle.
It does seem we have to, you know, it's tricky because words, you know, words take us all over the place, and everybody has a different emotion around a word. You know, everybody sees that word differently, and it brings up different emotions. What I always see is we drop that back down in the heart. We all have the same intent and the same desire, and everybody in their heart of hearts wants to live a thoroughly loving, joyous life, you know, in harmony with each other and connect with whatever their creator is. You know, hopefully they have a good image of that, and it's not some jealous, wrathful program. But what I'm seeing over and over again, it's kind of like it even defining the problem and how we got so lost. It may sound like you're blaming, but not, you're not really blaming. I just want to make that clear. We're defining the box that we've been put into, so people can look at it and go, wow, that is the boss. And the only people that can really help are the ones that have actually stepped out of the box and see the box, and then they can help explain that box to others. So it's tricky when you do that. And I know I'm kind of blunt with it. I know Dana might be too. And sometimes I'm really blunt, and it sounds like I'm angry or I'm blaming. I'm not. I'm just defining the box and saying, hey, look, this is the box. These are the players that are keeping that box together for you, and then giving a solution. This is how you step out of the box.
Well, and it's also difficult to explain to somebody in a in a non-straightforward way what you're looking at from either side of the box. So if you're inside it, it's hard to explain in non-direct terms to somebody outside of it what you're seeing and vice versa.
You have to know what you're dealing with in order to come out of what we find ourselves in. But these Anunnaki freaks that took over the planet, they started to weld metal to their biology, and they lost the ability to manufacture and produce their own bliss gland juice. And if nobody can manufacture their own bliss gland juice, they can't raise their frequency high enough to ascend to implode it in their heart center to create the new gravity to be born. So the job that everyone is faced with, and that's why all the money is about to flow and everything's about to change to put everybody in a good mood, see, is so they can get in a good mood and tell them all the bad news about all the truth about all the lies, so they can use their own free will to decide to use it to make the choice as to whether they want to ascend or not. And it just requires this. You've got to kind of be an urban shaman, I guess, to back out of the matrix as much as humanly possible, but yet still live within it, but yet without it, and take back your life by taking back your time. You take back your life by taking back your time, because that's what's been stolen, and you can never get it back.
Jenna says, time is art.
Pardon me?
Time is art.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Eddie says that.
Yeah. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour here, okay. So we're going to have to sign off, so I'm going to have to let you go. But thanks for calling in, Tommy. And
thanks.
Yeah, you have to call in some other time when we've got a little more time.
I will. All right. Have a good evening, people.
All right.
You do the same. Thanks so much. It was nice chatting.
Or a little more art. Yeah. So, Dana, I guess we're going to have to close down here because we're at the end of the hour. And I don't know if there's any leaving comments you want to make, or you can go ahead and sign us off and take it away. You know, you've got 3 minutes to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you so much. You all were so hospitable when I came and dive bombed on you. And it's been fun exchanging all this information and ideas, and I am grateful to you and your community for allowing me to share.
Great. And I guess we'll, I don't know if you have any websites or contact information if people want to get a hold of you, but I'll leave that up to you. We can put that up on the site later and set something up. If people want to connect with us, you can just go to the eSETI website and find out what's going on. And you know, the main thing I want to leave people with is that this too shall pass, and things are coming hot and heavy and fast, and we're all evolving in hyperspeed right now. And so it's good to learn to, I love that old saying, I let go, I let spirit, I let go, I let God, whatever you want to say it, but we're going to have to be doing a lot of letting go in the days to come, and it's coming hot and furious. So
indeed, but enjoy every minute of it. Don't forget to laugh.
Yeah, don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Don't blame others. Don't blame yourself. Just go with the flow and focus on love and joy and bliss until you get through it. That's all I can say.